Blog Talk Radio. Listening to Cleopatra Memphis Studios, and I'm your girl Cleopatra Memphis, but you can call me Cleo. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight for our 10 p.m. part two of Citizens Commission on Human Rights with the Reverend Frederick Shaw, and we are going to let him take over tonight and give you the information that you need to know about CCHR. We talked briefly earlier today, but now we have vital information that you can know and use. And remember, always feel free to call in during this segment. You can call in at 563-999-3596. That's 563-999-3596. Reverend Frederick, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
I am good. We're glad to have you back with us tonight.
Well, it's a pleasure to be back and to be able to address your audience. And I want to thank you for the opportunity and congratulate you on becoming a member of the National Task Force Against Eugenics-Based Racism. And so you are involved in a national organization.
Yes, yes, I am proud to be that. We need as much help as we can get. If you want to be recruited out there, people, hey, you know where to go. That's cchr.org. Now, Reverend Frederick, I know you have some information that is vital to us tonight. Go ahead and give us that information.
Well, the thing that when we look around society, we see mass numbers of people in the streets, even though the protesters have dwindled, but they're still out there. At one time, we had hundreds of thousands of people in the streets. Even in the midst of the coronavirus. And, you know, you got protests. We want to defund the police. We want to do all of these things. But the truth of the matter is what sits behind all of this is a medical model of racism that has been going on since the 1700s. When we look at Dr. Benjamin Rush, who was the father of psychiatry. He goes down in history as signing the Declaration of Independence and things like that. He was known as an abolitionist, but when you look behind the curtain, he was a slave owner, and he said that black people's skin was dark because we had a disease akin to leprosy, and that white people should stay away from us, and the only way to know if we were sane or cured is if we turned white. Now, this is the father of psychiatry who they still give awards in his name at the American Psychiatric Association. They chose him to be on the seal of the American Psychiatric Association. And that's just the start. There is so much more to it.
Well, you're hitting it right on the head, I know for sure, because during this pandemic, during COVID, everything that you're talking about, the things that we've been dealing with for hundreds of years, have now been brought to a head.
And one of the things that you see about that is even though psychiatry said that in the 60s, when Martin Luther King and John Lewis and all these people were marching for freedom, mental health said, psychiatry said, that those leaders were creating delusions of grandeur, schizophrenia, and protest psychosis in the minds of those who were marching with them. So they were indicating that protesting for your freedom as late as the 60s was a sign of mental illness. Now, what's interesting about that, when black people ran away from their masters when they, during slavery, mental health said that they were mentally ill. Regardless of the condition, regardless of the fact that they could sell, come and get your wife out of bed and pass her around to their friends, sell your children. They could rape you as a man, castrate you, beat you. But if you ran away from those conditions, mental health said you were mentally ill. If you backtalked, you were mentally ill. If you disobeyed, you were mentally ill. Or those were at least signs of it.
That's horrific. That's horrific. And I'm just going to add this little, I'm just going to piggyback on what you're speaking on, Reverend Frederick Shaw. This is a very sensitive subject for me because I have my own story about being controlled, about being, put in this restraint against my will for control due to abusive people that were around me. And to experience this firsthand, we put this story in our film, but to experience this firsthand, it's akin to slavery. That's exactly what it is. So unless you've experienced this, and sometimes you don't wake up until it's right in your face, and right now we're in a time where everything is right in your face, this is a time to take heed, because this could simply be your wife, your child, your mother, your aunt, your sister, your brother, anyone. It could be anyone, your father, your uncle, your pastor even, if something is not done right now. That's why we have this organization. That's why we have Reverend Frederick Shaw to lead us in this fight against mental health care abuse. Go on, Reverend Frederick.
Well, thank you for that. And thing about it is that when you expose things, you know, the Citizens Commission on Human Rights is an organization that blows the whistle on psychiatric abuse. We're a watchdog organization. So what we do is study what they do. What we do is get the information and the facts. We already know that we're up against big money. We already know that they've been infiltrated and gotten the ear of our politicians, and then they put money in our community through our civil rights programs and make them weak. We already know that. But the thing is when you throw truth on the line, a lot of time it resonates with the people who are hearing it. And when we keep looking at this track of mental health, and I won't do all of it, but in the 1950s, they said that black people, Native Americans, and Mexicans should never be allowed to have children. In the 1960s, they were doing experiments, putting electrodes in the brain right here at UCLA of blacks and Mexican males. This thing just keeps coming on up to the day when they have people like Dr. David Grossman, a professor of psychology at West Point, teaching killology to law enforcement. This is all part of that. It's not by accident that he's a professor of psychology. And because psychology has always been far more racist than law enforcement, in my opinion. I've talked to psychiatrists, black psychiatrists who was training in the 50s and early 60s and stuff, and they were taught that black people needed medication because our brains was too small to be able to comprehend therapy.
Mm.
So those are the types of things. So how is it now when we're doing the protests, now psychiatry comes out and say the black people, the same people who said that we were getting mental illness protesting against whites, now saying, oh, black people have suffered police abuse and therefore they need mental health. It's the same old game coming back at us again.
I believe
that. The suppressor cannot be the cure.
Right. Right. Well, I know you've heard, and everyone out there has heard of Jane Elliott. She speaks and says that racism is a literal mental illness. It's something wrong. Well, how do you feel about that?
No, it's because racism is taught. And the reason
right.
I know this, because I've been around a lot of children, and the children will all play together. Let's say you got a bunch of four-year-olds, and they're all racist, and they playing and having fun. When you walk up and say, who this little kid? They don't say this is my black friend or my white friend or my Mexican friend. They just say it's my friend. It is
right.
Society teaches the racism. There's the cutest video on the internet of these two little kids running to hug each other because they became friends, and then they see each other, and they're 2 years old. One is black, one is white, and they run to each other and hug each other. They're not thinking about their color. This
right.
is stuff that is taught as we go along. It is not mental illness. It is misbehavior. It is miseducation. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. And conditioning. And conditioning. Because they're
conditioning.
They're conditioned from people, what we're fighting against. There are whole generations and families and institutions that, from what I understand from you and other people, that are basically institutionalized and conditioned from the time they are young, when they can get their hands on them. And then it just spreads like a weed. Is that
well,
right?
Yeah, well, racism itself can be infectious. If the children pick up things from the parents picked up things from their parents. Sometimes we use other races as excuses for our failure. They did not necessarily go through what the black community has gone through. I've asked many of my friends, do you ever worry about your son when he leaves the house? Have you ever had you or your husband, I'm talking about my wife friends, but they my friends. Have you ever had the conversation about how you got to act when you come in contact with police? And they haven't. But almost every black man has had that with his son.
Right.
So, you know.
And daughter now.
And daughter now, yeah. But the truth of the matter is this could be fixed, but they have to do something different. They have
right.
to start rewarding for good things that happen. In other words, law enforcement should get a bonus when there is no crime in an area that has been crime-ridden. You don't get extra money to fight gang members. You get money. You fix the problem. If you don't fix the problem, they start withdrawing the money. As long as hospitals get $13,000 for diagnosis of the COVID-19 virus and $39,000 if you put a person on a ventilator, we're going to have a problem. As long as you get all kind of money for research for diabetes and cancer, but you don't say, whoever comes up with the cure, we don't give you guys, we're going to spread out $500 million or $5 billion, and then we're going to award big lump sums to those who come with the cure. If you did it that way, you would get the cure. But as long as the money is in the problem, like mental health, you take a person who walked in to a psychiatrist because mom died and they was feeling sad. they get a pill, and now they start having thoughts of suicide. They take another pill, then they kill themselves. They take another pill, they start hearing voices. Well, as long as the money is in them being sick, that's what we're going to get.
Yeah, they can't get well. So as we begin to wrap up this segment, Reverend Frederick, do you think there are any other vital points that everyone should know, that people should know now, other than, of course, joining and helping us and sending funds to CCHR, volunteering your time, taking the time to visit the virtual museum when it is on the site and available? Is there anything else that should be driven home tonight?
If you are a professional person, a community leader, a pastor, you can become a member of the National Task Force Against Eugenic-Based Racism. You can contact me at fshawjr@yahoo.com. fshawjr@yahoo.com. But you can be a part of the task force. If you you can contact me on any questions. If you want to be a part of what we're doing, if you want to take on the fight, if the key to the whole thing is this: if you're labeling black kids in disproportionate numbers with disability for learning disorders, mathematical disorders, all of these type of things, if you get paid more money when kids are labeled with disabilities, you will find that you have more people with disabilities. So education is growing. If people no longer believe in God and they replace prayer with a pill, then you will get more and more sick people instead of people delivered in their spiritual faith. This is all systematic racism. It is all an attack on the morals of this country. It is all attack on people of color, and it is time that people start researching. Look, they can go to cchrint.org, find our database, and they can take any drug in their house and put that drug into the database, and it will tell you the side effects. It will tell you everything about it. We've got to be more responsible for what is happening to us and our kids. And if we do that, we will find a better way. But as long as we keep standing back, taking the easy way, you know, and most parents, unfortunately, go along with it because you can get more money if the child is on disability and you're on welfare. The schools get more money. Group homes get more money. Everybody gets paid more money if the child has a disability. So we have to come out of that.
Right. Well, I completely agree. That's why I had to make sure you told everyone about what's going on right now and sing it from the rooftops, because I will continue to do so. This is a continual fight until we can't fight any more people. So please, if you have any questions, call in at 563-999-3596 or email us at info@CleopatraMemphisStudios.org. If you have any questions for Reverend Frederick Shaw or CCHR, please feel free to send us that information. And again, Reverend Shaw, I am so thankful that you got a chance to speak with us this evening and tell us where we should be led and allow us to get even deeper on this subject. Also, if you don't know, the amazing Reverend Frederick Shaw is also a published author. So anything you need to know about him, feel free to email him. He is there for the help and there for the guidance. He is there for us to get past this, because somebody has to hold the torch and light the way. So again, thank you all for listening. Thank you, Reverend Frederick Shaw, for being here tonight. And until next time, people, be great.
Thank you. God bless you.